Welcome to Animals Today, your home for a serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We interact with and work with many people involved in animal rescue, with those individuals who work in shelters, as well as in animal hospitals. And when you work with animals, there can be a lot of joy, but also many frustrations and sources of stress and anxiety. During this hour, we're going to explore the stressors that caregivers often face. And of course, our focus will be mostly, but not exclusively, on those involved in animal rescue and veterinary and shelter activities. Many elements of these, of course, can be so difficult emotionally to handle when you consider the seemingly endless stream of dogs and cats euthanized just because of overpopulation in the United States, now numbering about 3 million or so yearly. Plus, dealing with the homeless, the sick, and the older animals can be very taxing, day in and day out. Take, for instance, veterinarians. Burnout rates are high, depression is common, and they have the highest rate of suicide among medical professionals. What should people in the field be aware of in terms of their own psychological health? How can someone assess how they're doing, and what can be done if it starts to get to be too much? The term for this is compassion fatigue. And today we are very pleased to have a real authority on this, Patricia Smith, author and certified compassion fatigue specialist. Patricia is the founder of the Compassion Fatigue Awareness Project, and she speaks widely and provides training to organizations around the U.S. on dealing with this common issue. Welcome to the program, Patricia.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Patricia, I thought we'd begin by asking how you define compassion fatigue, and if you would explain how it differs from burnout or simply stress that anyone can experience in various situations or jobs.
Okay. Compassion fatigue, the definition of compassion fatigue came from Dr. Charles Figley, the world's leading traumatologist, and I actually have his statement right here, which I'm going to read to you. Compassion fatigue is a state experienced by those helping people or animals in distress. It is an extreme state of tension and preoccupation with the suffering of those being helped to the degree that it can create a secondary dramatic stress for the helper. And the thing is with compassion fatigue, particularly in animal welfare work, where I know that the rates are very, very high, often they are working with stress, which is about being anxious, it's work-related overload, it's too much, they've got too much coming at them, burnout, which is about being worn out, and then all of a sudden what is too much becomes too little, it's work-related hopelessness, and post-traumatic stress disorder, which is work-related primary exposure to traumatic events, which of course we know animal welfare workers have with what they see, the animal abuse, the hoarding situations, all the rules and regulations they have to follow, basically society's disregard for animals. Then it goes into secondary traumatic stress disorder, which is what compassion fatigue is. So you've got stress, burnout, PTSD, and then secondary traumatic stress. So oftentimes animal welfare workers have all of that going on because of the difficult work that they do every single day.
And as I mentioned, you have been involved in this field for a long time. How did you first learn about compassion fatigue?
Well, I had been, my background is journalism, and I wrote for the San Jose Mercury News for 20 years and was in college textbook publishing. And my last one went off to college. I was a single mom with three kids. And my daughter went off to college, and I said, I'd like to do something different now, something that I really care about. And I thought, what I like most is training and development, and I just adore animals. I think I'll get into animal welfare work. So I applied for a job at the Humane Society Silicon Valley in San Jose. And they had an opening for their training and development manager. And after several interviews, I got the job. And I was so excited because I was going to save all the animals, not really realizing the underbelly of this work. 2 weeks into the job, the executive director, Christine Benninger, came to me and said, I'd like you to do a compassion fatigue shelter workshop. We had about 125 staff, I think, at that time. It's a very large open-door shelter and takes in about 45,000 animals a year. That was back in the year 2000. So I said, sure, I'd be happy to do it, not knowing at all what she was talking about. So I went back to my office and I Googled compassion fatigue. And at that time, the only thing that came up was Dr. Charles Figley's work. And it was academic, but I had worked with academics in college textbook publishing, so I was able to take his information and bring it down to a level where, you know, most of us could understand it. I contacted him, told him what I was doing, and so he was very helpful in explaining that this is not just you're tired of giving, you've given too much and you can't give any more. It is actually a secondary traumatic stress syndrome. So from there, I put together the workshop, and then I started doing it for people in the community and the volunteers at the shelter. And before I knew it, American Humane called and asked if I could do my workshops nationwide, which I did. I left the shelter, and I started doing the work, you know, wherever I was called to give a workshop. After about a year, I got really tired of traveling around, and I was talking on the phone to my son, Derek, who's a marine biologist, and I said, Derek, there's this thing called compassion fatigue, and I think that there's a lot that needs to be, you know, shared with all kinds of helpers, because compassion fatigue can be any kind of helper. Psychologists, nurses, physicians, animal welfare workers, pastoral care, social workers, I mean, it's across the curriculum. And I said, I'd really like to start an organization and educate people what this is. I think I have a real good grip on what it is. And I had gone for my certification with Dr. Gentry back in New Jersey. And he said, well, you know, why can't you do that? And I said, because I don't have any money to start an organization. He said, you don't need any. He said, you're a writer. Go ahead and write all the content, and I'll build a website for you. He said, what would you call it? And I said, I'd call it the Compassion Fatigue Awareness Project. And from there, he created this wonderful website, and it sat, and it sat, and it sat until 2008. This was all in the year 2000. About 2008, I noticed that things were really picking up. I was getting 50,000 hits a month, and I called him, and I said, Derek, something funny is happening. I'm getting all of these requests to speak and questions and people asking for, you know, resources. And he said, I think what's happened is the words compassion fatigue have hit what they call the tipping point. And from then on, it's just been a kind of a wild ride, because people now Google compassion fatigue instead of caregiver burnout or animal welfare burnout or stress-related burnout. They use the words compassion fatigue. And that's how it happened. And it's just my passion. I love teaching people about it and helping them to understand, because there are ways that you can heal from it.
That's so interesting, Patricia. So, Patricia, how does a person know if they're suffering from compassion fatigue? What are the symptoms, and do people have a good sense that they're dealing with it?
Yes, they do. It's almost, I don't even know the word, it's amazing. I did one workshop, and there were about 60 people in the workshop, and I asked different people how they heard about this, and there was actually an ad on the radio saying that I was going to speak. And one man raised his hand. He said, I was driving in my car. He said, I'm the caregiver for my wife who has a terminal illness. He said, as soon as I heard those two words, compassion fatigue, I said, uh-oh, I think I have that. It's like a light bulb goes off. Yeah. When I give workshops, I'll see people with tears in their eyes. And they'll raise their hand. They said, I have this. And you just know, because the symptoms are very, very specific. They are bottled up emotions. You tend to push everything down. I'll deal with it tomorrow. I'm not going to deal with it now. And unfortunately, what happens is it does come up. It will come out with a vengeance, and you'll have, you know, emotional outbursts. Feelings of isolation. You just want to be left alone. You don't want one more thing to come your way. Apathy and sadness. Even though you go to happy celebrations and you're with friends and family, you have this innate sense of sadness that just follows you around. Impulse to rescue anyone in need. I saw this a lot at the shelter, and I see it as I travel now. They'll have 3 dogs, 5 cats, you know, 5 birds, rats, you know, all kinds of animals, because they can't say no. And they live in a one-bedroom apartment, and often it eats up all of their expenses for the month. And it's this impulse, I can make it better, I can make it better. And you keep, in animal welfare, you keep adopting animals. Excessive complaints, because you've got so much going on inside of you, and human beings, what's going on inside of us has to come out. So we have a lot of complaints in the workplace about management and colleagues, which, of course, leads to what I call, you know, organizational compassion fatigue. You have persistent physical ailments. You have the headache that won't go away. You have the sore throat that's always there, the sinus, the backache, the shoulders, because you're just carrying too much, and it comes out in your body. Your body is saying, please stop doing this to me. Substance abuse. We self-medicate with alcohol, television, computer, food, tobacco, all of the things that humans turn to try to medicate. And then, of course, you have the recurring flashbacks or nightmares. And at the time that that happens, you probably need a mental health professional to help you work through it.
Wow.
So as you can see, there's a very specific set of symptoms. And what it is your body crying out for help, saying you need to take care of me.
Wow. This is great. Don't go away. More with Compassion Fatigue Awareness Specialist Patricia Smith. You're listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for joining us on Animals Today. Each week, we explore the wide variety of important issues concerning the welfare of animals, how people treat them, and where they fit in our society. From whale protectors on the open seas, to lawyers in court, to scouts helping their local shelter, join me to get the latest on animal welfare news, stories, and events from around the world. And visit us on Facebook to join the conversation. That's Animals Today every week, right here on the station, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, make sure to visit us at animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to any of our previous shows free. Animals Today brings you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics. Much of our support comes from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
Geico presents Strange Saving Stories. Astronomers detected an interstellar transmission. It stated, Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. The implications were staggering. Was the cosmos telling us we could all save hundreds on car insurance with Geico? Or did their radar merely pick up a signal from the nearby Rufus and Clyde's morning show? We may never know.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
The flu, pneumonia, whooping cough, hepatitis A, shingles, meningitis, tetanus. That's a scary list. But did you know immunizations can protect you from every one? You didn't? Well, we do. Rite Aid pharmacists are certified to immunize against the most common preventable diseases. Find out what immunizations you need with a free immunization evaluation at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal. Availability and age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacists for details.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're speaking to the founder of the Compassion Fatigue Awareness Project, Patricia Smith. Patricia, what groups of people, what occupations or avocations do you most frequently see this in?
Well, actually, it's what I call across the curriculum, having been in textbook publishing for so many years. If you remember what the actual terminology that Dr. Figley uses, it's preoccupation with the suffering of those being helped. So basically, we can use the term for any caregiver, any helper. You have family caregivers who can suffer from this, psychologists, nurses, mental health workers, anyone in pastoral care, priests, chaplains, ministers, social workers, child care advocates, those who work in assisted living, anywhere where someone or an animal is being helped, because it creates the secondary trauma. You're taking on, the people who go into the helping professions are both empathetic and compassionate. Empathy means that you open your heart to the pain and suffering of another. And compassion means that you're moved to create some action to help alleviate the suffering. So if you start thinking about that, that is any helper that is in some sort of a profession or family caregiver where someone is in distress or pain or suffering. Does that make sense?
It sure does.
So it's a wide area, and we're finding more and more that it's just across the board.
So what specific factors lead to compassion fatigue?
Well, a lot of it, unfortunately, starts in childhood. It's about patterns that start very young. Oftentimes, I'll ask in a workshop, how many of you were family caregivers? And the hands go up, you know, all the time, because they're patterns that start early, and then we carry them into adulthood. So we've learned to place the needs of others before our own needs. It's called other-directedness. We're always worried about what's out there instead of what's inside. We're other-directed instead of self-directed. We often have unresolved past trauma and pain, things that happened in our lives that we haven't really dealt with. We keep pushing them down, and that's one of the symptoms. Push it down, it'll go away. I don't have to deal with it. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. It's all in there. If indeed you have, you know, any dysfunction in your background, which we all do, author John Steinbeck once said, to live at all is to have scars. We all have scars. So we have a lack of healthy professional and personal coping skills. There's so much going on in our lives, and we're looking out all the time, taking in all of this information, that eventually our bodies start breaking down. We have a lack of personal boundaries. No one ever taught us that we could say one little word, and the word is no. We always say, yes, we'll do it, so we take on too much. We have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility. We feel so responsible for everything, and I really see this in animal welfare workers. They feel so responsible for those dear little animals because the animals, you know, can't speak for themselves, so they become the spokesperson. And as you know, that society's disregard for animals is huge. The practice of minimizing traumatic events. It's like, oh, that was no big deal, and it was a big deal. It was traumatic, and you're not dealing with it. And then, of course, providing care to others with burnout and stress. Once you have all of that going on, you can go downhill pretty fast. And that's what happened to me. I found out that I had very high levels of compassion fatigue when I took a self-test at the shelter, and I was shocked and really quite pleased that what I was feeling all those years actually had a name. And that's what started me on the path. As I've said, you know, my background is journalism. I'm not a mental health professional. My work is experiential. This is what I experienced, and it helps others to understand that I know what you're going through, and this is what I did to heal myself.
Patricia, so let's talk specifically about those who work with animals, including vet techs, veterinarians, rescuers, and shelter volunteers and employees. Who specifically is susceptible to developing compassion fatigue?
Well, I think when I first started this work 15 years ago in the shelter, my first thought was, oh, it's going to be the euthanasia tax, of course. You know, you go into animal welfare work because you love animals so much, and then your job has you, you know, kill them day after day after day.
Yeah.
But that isn't the case. It's anyone in that environment where there can be work-related trauma. So oftentimes it's the admin upstairs or the behaviorist or the adoption counselor. Those are the people who have the highest levels. It doesn't play favorites.
Compassion fatigue must plague organizations like shelters and rescues. How does that affect the employees, the health of the organization, and the animals?
Oh, it affects it tremendously. And you know, that's one of the things I talk about when I deal with the upper management. When you have the majority of your workers are compassion fatigued, you're going to have emotional outbursts, you're going to have the inability of teams to work well, you're going to have the inability of workers to follow rules and regulations because they think they know what's better and they can make things better. And when a high percentage of employees exhibit elevated levels of compassion fatigue, it seems to me that the organization itself will develop compassion fatigue symptoms, which are high workers' comp rates, high absenteeism, tendency to break rules, a strong reluctance to change, and they undermine the mission of the organization. The whole thing becomes dysfunctional. And, of course, who suffers the most? The animals. When I was at the shelter in San Jose, Beth Ward, who was the vice president of animal care, decided she was going to put a group together and study euthanasia, you know, the good death. Were we really practicing humane euthanasia? And she asked me to be on the committee, which, of course, I said yes. And the first thing she said at the first committee meeting just has stayed with me. She said, compassion fatigue and what goes on with the workers is probably the main reason that animals get euthanized, because they pick up everything. So if you have everyone in the main room, all your adoption counselors, the intake people, if everybody is there in the room and there's stress and burnout, the animals are going to pick that up, and it's going to start them off on their journey of their behavior and their medical, you know, testing. They're going to be in a real bad place. So probably the main reason we euthanize animals is because they're so stressed in the shelter environment or the veterinarian's office because of the stress of the people. They sense it. They sense everything.
Yeah. Briefly, Patricia, how can organizations like shelters make the work environment less likely to be a breeding ground for compassion fatigue?
Well, number one, they need to know what it is. And I think that's why of all of the workshops I do, the largest number are animal welfare workers, because they sense, you know, they know that they have these problems. Educate staff about compassion fatigue. Have workshops, give them materials so they understand what it is. They need to learn to recognize the symptoms in their people. They need to create a space for meditation and silence after a traumatic event takes place. Debriefing as a group following traumatic events, and they need to bring someone in who knows what he or she is doing. You have to have a good facilitator. The latest studies show that when you get a group to debrief, if they talk about all the details of the trauma, it creates more trauma in themselves and their workers. So you have to have a facilitator who knows how to focus on the feelings. You know, how did you feel about it? It's about your feelings and being able to put your feelings at rest, that you did the best you could. And if you just keep talking about the awful details, it just keeps it all going. Developing corporate wellness programs, which is so important right now. The other thing I think that probably is one of the biggest things is management needs to take the lead. Oftentimes I'm called in by management, and management leaves, and I'm there with the workers. Management needs to have buy-in. They lead the way, and oftentimes, and I have worked for many managers who just go into their office and shut the door, and that's the last thing you want to do in order to be an effective manager. You want to be there for your people, and you want to support them, because oftentimes, people with compassion fatigue, they just need to be validated. They need to be validated, and they need to be valued.
Oh, very well stated.
That doesn't
happen. More with Patricia Smith right after the break. Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from the animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals. Do you ever wonder what you can do to be nicer to animals or to help them? Here are a few things you can do to show your appreciation to our furry friends. You could donate to or volunteer at your local animal shelter. Walking the dogs and playing with the cats is a meaningful way to make a difference in the lives of homeless animals. You could be a foster parent. If you have the extra time and space, becoming a foster parent is a wonderful way to take some of the burden off our overcrowded shelters by giving an animal a loving place to live until their forever home is found. Increase your appreciation for wildlife by providing a welcoming space for butterflies, hummingbirds, and other creatures, or by simply driving cautiously through areas populated by wild animals such as deer. You are acting with compassion. These are only a few ideas to encourage you to continue thinking about your personal kindness towards animals. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us online at AIAnimals.org.
This weekend at Guitar Center, it's our biggest guitar, amp, and effects sale of the year. More than 300,000 instruments will be marked down below our everyday unbeatable prices. It's Guitar Center's Guitarathon. Save at least 15% on select guitars, basses, and amps $299 and up. Get deals like $300 off an American-made Gibson Les Paul. Take over 40% off on Fender All-Tube Vaporizer Combo Amps. And save up to 60% on Charvel Electric Guitars. Don't miss Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center, this weekend through November 2nd. In-store and at GuitarCenter.com.
Look, kid, when guys like us walk into a facility in the morning, we can smell a problem. No one needs to hand us a work order. We already know it. Today, for instance, we need a new gearbox, 6 globe valves, and a dozen ballasts. And when I smell a problem, Granger smells that I smell a problem. They help me keep this place up and running. Now that's the kind of smell I like. The sweet smell of success. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, clickgranger.com, or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Did you know up to 1 in 5 Americans will get the flu this year? Because less than half of us get vaccinated? You didn't know? That's okay. We do. Rite Aid has certified immunizing pharmacists at the ready to discuss your risks, answer your questions, and shield you from what you don't know. So get your flu shot, no appointment necessary, at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
Covita Insurance Services is an insurance agency. Benefits, pricing, availability, and insurance companies vary by state. Policies contain limitations, exclusions, waiting period, termination, and renewal provisions. Call for details.
Honey, did you know that when Jamie's father passed away in that accident, his Social Security only paid her $255? The funeral alone cost her over $10,000. If anything ever happened to us, I don't want to leave that burden to the kids.
We won't, dear. We have a $25,000 guaranteed acceptance whole life insurance policy through Covita Insurance Services. And it helps with all kinds of final expenses like funerals, credit card debt, and medical bills.
That would have really helped Jamie.
And with guaranteed acceptance, there are no health questions or medical exams. Rates will never increase and benefits will never decrease. Plus, there's even a cash value benefit.
What about our age?
Anyone between the ages of 40 and 80 qualifies, and you can't be turned down for pre-existing conditions.
Talk to a Covita licensed agent today at 888-707-5175. That's 888-707-5175. 888-707-5175.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Jason Ray noticed a blue birthmark had appeared on his forehead in the shape of the Geico gecko. Jason felt compelled to switch his car insurance to Geico and save hundreds of dollars with great discounts. By nightfall, the birthmark had disappeared. Jason's wife, Jeannie, thinks it was probably just blueberry jam from breakfast. Jason prefers to believe otherwise.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirschner. Patricia Smith, let's say an individual, a person, recognizes they are suffering from compassion fatigue. What resources and strategies are available to them?
Okay. I think the main thing is what, you know, to talk about what you can do for yourself. As I mentioned before, if it's a, if what you believe is compassion fatigue, high levels of compassion fatigue, are getting in the way of your life, that you're not functioning, it's affecting your relationships, it's affecting, you know, healthy eating habits, you're not able to exercise, all the things that we need to do to stay healthy. You probably do need someone to help you through this who's a mental health professional. But for most of us who have level higher levels, number one, develop a self-awareness, which is exactly what you're doing right now. You know, we're talking about this. People probably are listening and saying, oh, my gosh, that's me. And believe me, they do identify very, very quickly because they know that this is going on in their lives.
Yeah.
So once you have an awareness, I'm a firm believer that you can't go back. People leave my workshop, and then they'll write me and they'll say, I changed one thing. And it's made all the difference in the in my life. Because we don't have to make a lot of changes. We have to just slowly start changing our lives to become more self-directed and taking care of ourselves. The healthy pattern for a healthy caregiver is deplete, fill up. Deplete, fill up. We deplete in our jobs every day, and we fill up with the things that really are important to us in our lives. It's what I call authentic, sustainable self-care. Things that are authentic to us. Not someone else, not what Madison Avenue tells us we should be doing, but what is authentic to us. And then it needs to be something that's sustainable, something that you can do throughout your life in bad weather, good weather, when you're feeling well, when you're not feeling well. It has to be sustainable, and it needs to be done every single day because we deplete at work in our caregiving, and we have to fill up in order to balance our lives. For me, it's walking in nature anytime I'm near water, being with my family, whom I adore and have wonderful relationships, and being near animals. Even just walking and seeing wild animals is good enough for me. That fills me up, okay? So you have to have authentic, sustainable self-care daily. You have to create some sort of a balance in your life. If you're finding that you're working 12, 13 hours a day, there can't be balance. You have to balance your work, your relationships, and time for yourself.
Yeah.
You have to build a healthy support system. Latest studies show that the healthiest people have very healthy support systems, and they have some form of spirituality, which is very, very interesting. And spirituality or a religious tradition is explained by that you believe there's something bigger than you, something you can call on. And that's what these studies are showing with people. The other thing is to take the self-tests regularly, which, I'll give you the resources for that. I take the one self-test by Dr. Beth Hudnall Stam. It's been her life's work. It's on my website, and then I'll give you her website. I take it every 6 months because the bad news is compassion fatigue never goes away. We only manage it. One time I was talking to Dr. Figley, and I was so proud of myself because I felt I had healed so well from a lot of the pain and suffering I had. And he said, I'm sorry to tell you, but it's always with us. We have to learn to manage it. The other thing is you create a self-care plan, something that's actually a plan for yourself. But you don't do like we do at New Year's and have five or six different resolutions. You just do one. It's called the DOT plan, D-O-T, do one thing. Studies show if we try to make one change and we succeed, our chances are 93%. If we add two or more things to that list, our chances of success go down to 53%. So we want to make one change, do it well, and then move on to the next change. We want to simplify our lives. We're overburdened. We're overwrought with just too much to do. Somehow you have to find places in your life that you can simplify. We have to strengthen our resiliency coping skills. We have to be resilient in order to go back and continue doing it day after day after day. One of the things I've noticed about animal welfare workers is that they, what I call, they're in a perpetual state of grief because there's loss every single day. And compassion fatigue is about loss. You know, you're trying to deal with losses in your life. And animal welfare workers are dealing with loss every single day, and they never get to heal. So they're in this perpetual state of grief. And I think that's why they have the highest levels. They're grieving for all those animals that are either abused or, you know, lost or have been euthanized. And I think that's where the core of their high levels comes from, is the loss.
Hmm. Patricia, let's say I believe that I recognize it in someone who works with animals, compassion fatigue. How should I approach them if I want to be helpful and not turn them off?
Well, I think what you want to do is collaborate. You know, say to someone, you know, I've been having a lot of these symptoms of something that I have found out is called compassion fatigue. You know, I don't sleep well. You know, having some emotional outbursts. You don't want to put the person on the defense, so they're in the corner, because they are very, very highly, highly sensitive people. Most of us that have compassion fatigue are highly sensitive people. We tend to take in the pain and suffering of others instead of, you know, being able to have that personal boundary. And I think what you want to do is offer information. This is what I've experienced. I have, you know, some symptoms. Perhaps it would help you if I noticed in you that you've, you know, just had an emotional outburst with that person. Maybe this information will help you. I have some websites. Support them. I'm here for you if you want to talk. Then I think go to management and say, you know, we really could use some education about this, and get that manager buy-in to make some changes.
Yeah. Can people... go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, you know, we're in this together.
Right.
I mean, there's no two ways about
right.
it. And it does create a them versus us situation in the workplace, which just, you know, gets rid of all of your missions, all of your, everything you need to do to work together. And as I said, who suffers the most is the animal, the little animals themselves. They're picking up all the stress from the workers.
Yeah. Patricia, can people truly heal from compassion fatigue and be able to function happily and effectively in their desired field?
Yes. Yes. And I truly believe it because I did it myself. It was a lot of work. I was at a conference not long ago, and I gave a talk. And at the end, I noticed this man in the back just sitting there with his arms crossed, which, you know, sends me a message that he's not taking in my information. And I kept looking at him, and I thought, I'm not reaching him. Anyway, at the end of the Q&A, he raised his hand, and I thought, okay, this is going to be interesting. He raised his hand. He said, okay, I understand. In order to heal from this, he said, I have it. In order to heal from this, I'm going to have to do an awful lot of work, because it is hard work changing our habits and our ways. He said, if I do all this work, what do I get for it? And it came out of my mouth before I had a minute to think. I said, you're going to get a better life. You're going to make better decisions. You're going to be healthier. You're going to have better relationships. You're going to eat better. You're going to do all of those things, because you're basically an integrated, happy person. And I truly believe anyone can do it, but you have to do the work, and the work is difficult.
Yeah. Describe what occurs when you give a training, and are the ones related to animals different from other varieties?
I say yes. They're the closest to my heart, so maybe I'm a little bit more sensitive to them. But the passion with which animal welfare workers go into that profession is stellar. It's beyond anything else. They love the little animals. They want to make a difference. Doug Fakima, who's at American Humane, and he's been giving compassion fatigue workshops for so many years, he wrote the four stages of the animal welfare worker. And the first one is idealism. You know, they go into it with, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to save all the animals. I'm going to make a difference. And then the second stage is they're there a little bit, and they look around, and they notice they're working as hard as they can. They're probably working more hours than they've ever worked. They're trying as hard as they can to educate the public. They're doing everything they can, and it's not making a difference. And then the third stage is they're angry. How dare the public, you know, does this to animals when I'm here trying to make a difference and it's not doing any good? And they either at that point leave and go to work for Hertz Rent-A-Car, or they stay there and they learn the fourth step, which is to understand, if you save one life, if you adopt one animal, if you educate one person, you've made a difference in the world. And that's the healthy caregiver.
Patricia Smith, she's the founder of the Compassion Fatigue Awareness Project. Patricia, can you tell my listeners the website and the Compassion Fatigue self-test if they want to take it?
Yes. My website is www.compassionfatigue.org. And there's all kinds of things on there to help you. You have my permission to use them if you want to bring them to your manager and say, I just found out about this. I think we need to, help our workers with this information. www.healthycaregiving.com is another one of my websites, and it's got some books that I've written and a training manual and some free downloads. You're welcome to do that. And then Dr. Beth Hudnall Stamm, she has the Professional Quality of Life Self-Test, and that's www.proqol.org.
Very great.
And again, you can use any of that. She's got it like in, I think, 10 languages now. You are welcome to download those tests and use them to help you with compassion fatigue.
Patricia Smith, thank you so much for coming on Animals Today.
It's an honor, and thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035. Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Times are different than they were when Geico started saving people money over 75 years ago. Everybody takes photos of their food nowadays. You can bet none of us kids would snap pictures of Mom's tuna casserole surprise. To this day, we don't know what the surprise was, nor do we want to. We didn't always have tasty food, but we always had great car insurance with Geico.
Geico, saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years.
This weekend at Guitar Center, it's our biggest guitar, amp, and effects sale of the year. More than 300,000 instruments will be marked down below our everyday unbeatable prices. It's Guitar Center's Guitarathon. Save at least 15% on select guitars, basses, and amps $299 and up. Get deals like $300 off an American-made Gibson Les Paul. Take over 40% off on Fender All-Tube Vaporizer Combo Amps. And save up to 60% on Charvel Electric Guitars. Don't miss Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center, this weekend through November 2nd, in-store and at GuitarCenter.com.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Hi, Peter.
Lori, how are you?
Good. I just want to remind our listeners, Animals Today, the website, check it out, animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to all the archive prior shows, our archive right there on the website for you. Right, Peter?
5 years and more.
5 years. Has it been that long?
Time flies.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So it's animalstodayradio.com.
So you go there and you can click on listen to past shows, and then you get this menu that goes by year, and you can see the title of the show, the guests of the show, and you can click, depending on your browser, and it'll just play for you right there.
And you can share the link with others.
That would be a great thing to do because, you know, more the merrier.
Right. Educate others. Okay. And Animals Today is paid for by Advancing the Interests of Animals. It's a 501c3 nonprofit animal welfare organization, Advancing the Interest of Animals, AIAnimals.org. Check them out, AIAnimals.org. And listen, if you like what you hear, you want us to keep doing this, we really could use your help. AIAnimals.org, financial donation of any amount would be so greatly appreciated. Thank you. And Peter, why don't you tell the listeners about this wonderful campaign we're launching actually this next week or so?
Extending actually from following a pilot that Advancing the Interests of Animals conducted in the fall of 2013. And this was essentially a regional push to provide educational and informational material to the predominantly Spanish-speaking listeners and members of our community. And we're down here in Southern California. We're in the what we call the Coachella Valley. This is the Palm Springs area. And
Close to 50% of the people are Spanish-speaking, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And there are some households where Spanish is the main language, many of them.
Right.
And we did a little research and discovered that there's very little material that speaks to responsible guardianship about dogs and cats in Spanish available anywhere
right.
in the States.
Right.
And we dug further and concluded that it would be a worthwhile thing to try to provide some of this information and sort of, you know, educational lessons to our to the people who live with us down here who speak Spanish.
Right. And it was a multimedia approach, right?
Multimedia. So we produced these great radio PSAs, 1 minute spots that two of the local stations were kind enough to broadcast us pretty frequently. So that was really cool of them.
The Spanish radio stations here
that's
in the
right.
Valley. Right. That's exactly right. And the public service announcements, mainly about all issues related to responsible pet guardianship, right? So, fix your animal.
Yep. Get them.
Adopt, don't buy.
Right.
Licensing. Keep them out of the heat.
Stuff like that.
All,
get them checked at the vet.
Right.
All the things that that you should do.
Report animal cruelty. That was a one. Oh, yeah. That was a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were played. We had music beds on them. It was just really nicely produced. And if you want to listen to any of those, you go back to the AI Animals website and just find them. You can just hear them and get a flavor of what they're like. They're just up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was one element of this campaign. And then we also wrote a series of newspaper articles that were then translated in Spanish. There's a predominantly Spanish, there's Spanish language newspaper in the area called La Prensa. And we, similar topics that we wrote about 300 to 500 word articles about a responsible guardianship of our dogs and cats.
Right.
And these were published. And these
on a weekly basis?
Yeah.
In English and Spanish, actually.
That's right. And print and online.
That's right.
Right. And so we have a sample of those also on the website if you want to see what those look like. And we also, by the way, going back to the radio PSAs, if you want to read the text of these spots, because it's an art to write a radio spot, isn't it?
It sure is, you know, to get it right at 30 or 60
get it
seconds.
Right at that, and does it sound good? Is it confusing?
Right.
And so if you want to see the text, the copy of these PSAs, they're also on the website too, and they're a resource if you want to borrow them or do them locally, feel free.
Right.
Yeah. So then we've got these newspaper articles, and then the third element of this campaign were the educational flyers.
Right. We passed out thousands of those.
So we printed up 10,000 of them, I think.
Right.
These big canary yellow, large format, and on one side you've got English language, and we, by the way, called the campaign Happy and Safe Dogs and Cats.
Yep, that's the name of the campaign, right?
And in English and in Spanish.
And we have a cute little logo, and yeah.
And one side English, the other side you've got Spanish, and a series of really bullet point paragraphs reminding people about the important elements of sort of responsible guardianship of our dogs and cats predominantly. And these are everywhere. So that was so much fun, and it's such, we learned certain things. You know, not everything went exactly as we would have imagined, but you know, this is the point of doing a trial.
It was a great pilot project trial, and it was 3 months.
3 months,
and lots
of people became familiar with it, and people were listening on the radio. We know we were sort of getting through the clutter
and great feedback.
Right, and so. We just endeavored to carry this on. And so beginning in just a week or two, we are deploying phase two, and which is going to sort of, we hope, go indefinitely. And this time we've got a new, more better flyer, right, with color and better graphics.
And better PSAs.
And we're redoing the public service announcements.
We'll continue the articles.
Continue the articles. We've got more fresh ones that it's the same, you know, core of, you know, 5 to 7 basic topics, but made fresh and made interesting, topical in English and Spanish. Right?
And we're going to add
the
billboards as a fourth element of our multimedia campaign here.
So we've been working hard to develop some catchy billboards.
In
Spanish. That's another interesting thing to try to not flub. You
right,
know?
Exactly.
So we've got some billboards, and we want to thank everyone for their support in deploying and sustaining this important campaign to provide this information to people who speak Spanish.
Right. And if you like what we're doing, this is it's an educational outreach for the Spanish-speaking communities, and we're going to hopefully, like Peter said, deploy it here in a greater extent in Palm Springs area and in L.A. area, too, L.A. areas. So check us out, AIAnimals.org. We're doing great work. Thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
This is USA Radio News. I'm J.J. Jeffries. A federal health official says revised guidance for healthcare workers treating Ebola patients will include protective gear with no skin showing. National Nurses United co-president Gene Ross says healthcare professionals themselves should have more input into the treatment of Ebola patients. Courtesy CBS's Face the Nation.
We should not be carrying for more than one patient if we have an Ebola patient, and minimally perhaps two per patient, and then more if necessary. But you've got to take into account that the nurses will tell you how much they can handle.
Fighting between Islamic State militants and the Kurdish fighters defending the town of Kobani on the Syrian-Turkish border continues. Mortar strikes hit the town today, sending plumes of smoke into the air. Three mortars also fell on the Turkish side of the border, but no one was injured. I'm J.J. Jeffries.
While Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Barack Obama have been in Washington trying to legislate an economy, I've been all...